Hey, why don't you rub your cock up against the phone? Let me see what kind of noise it makes.
I'm not going to do that.
Just do it. It's a big deal.
Are you gay?
Which Howard are you talking to?
The one who asked that question.
Oh, no. I'm just trying to be entertaining, that's all. I'm not gay. Am I gay? Of course not. I have a wife.
A lot of gay men have wives.
Yeah, but come on. You know me. You know I'm not gay. I'm just asking the guy how big his cock is.
Well, you're asking him to rub it up against the phone.
And all you do is mooch off of people. You do nothing. That's, you're a big homo.
That's not entirely true.
What do you do, really?
I'm bisexual and I don't mooch off everybody.
People are going to be shocked that you put out an exercise and diet book because they don't think of you that way, right?
They think
about you. But here you are today. Is the book out now?
Yep, Formula 50.
Is there a bunch of pictures of you with your shirt off so we can see your muscularity?
Well, no, I didn't take myself off.
Musculature?
We got to have an example.
I want to see your musculature.
This is not about... this is not the Chippendale show, Robert.
Are you very ripped? If you took off your clothes now, you were totally nude. Would I see a man who is in the prime condition?
You have to have him totally nude.
Would you mind being totally nude right now?
Yeah, I'm not taking my clothes off.
Please.
I was trying to give me a strip in here. Yeah,
please, if you have
my girls, you bring up here.
Take off your clothes. Take off your shirt. Let me see what's going on.
I'm not taking my shirt off.
I want to see if you got titties on.
Last time I watched the show, I see you had the porn stars up there.
Yeah.
And y'all, I had the girls in here stripping and stuff like that. I'm like, me? You want to bring me here?
I want you nude right now.
You got to be kidding me.
Come on, man.
I'm doing way too good for this kind of shit, Howard.
Look at your ass. You're so muscular.
Do you have muscles in your ass that you'd like to show?
I'm not doing this in a gay way. I just want to, I just want to see if you're fat or not. I just want to see. It's not gay.
No,
man. The tip of your balls to the tip of your penis was over 9 inches.
No, right at the
nine inches.
Yeah. You making me feel good, man. Because when you watch porno, those dudes is like a foot.
9 is perfect.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe that's
what
that's
he talking
that's
about.
That's a secret. Oh, that's it. Wait, hold on, Robin. Is 9 perfect, Robin?
Perfect.
What does Howard mean by that?
You know exactly what I mean. My daughter's 15. All her friends are like consumed with who's gay and who isn't. That's like a big
thing.
That's the new thing. Yeah, right. They think I'm gay. Everyone's gay.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Quite Frankly. I'm your host, Fillmore. With me today is Sam, of course, my co-host with the most. Say hi, Sam.
Hi.
And Benjamin is sitting in for this one. How are you doing, Ben?
Great. Thank you for having me again.
No, it's wonderful to have you here. Just for everybody who is not aware, what this is going to be is a regular segment where we break down the week, or in this case, 2 weeks, but it's really 5 days because Stern was off on the 17th for President's Day. I stupidly made a mockery thread in our Facebook group, which you can find. It's called Quite Frankly. Should be easy enough to find. The podcast is also on Podbean. If you just search Quite Frankly under Podbean, that's an app you can download. Not iTunes yet, but we're working on that. And of course, our YouTube channel, which those of you know, you're already listening to this. You don't need to consult because you're already there. That's the channel we're talking about every time I talk about my channel. So we're going to give you a breakdown of those 5 days and the things that we thought were the most telling and the most interesting and revealing, which is really the goal of this particular type of podcast. So first off, everybody, let's start with the Tuesday, the 18th. That was criminally underrepresented in the media. Who wants to take the lead on this one?
Well, this is I'll start if you don't mind.
By all means, sir.
This is his first day back after both the Super Bowl and the Academy Awards. And this is where this is the second time he's talked about the movie Parasite.
Mm-hmm.
Because Parasite won Best Picture,
awards. Yeah,
like, yeah, it won a whole bunch of awards that night.
Critically acclaimed.
I think overrated. By the way, I saw the movie. I didn't think much of it. I haven't thought about it. But Howard refuses to watch the movie because he said that he and Beth watched the preview, and it was all ching chong ching. And Beth said, "Are you kidding me?" They decided we're not watching this. Neither of them would tolerate subtitles, and the preview I saw, I don't even think there was any talking. I saw the preview in the theater. I don't even think there was any talking. So anyway, he said this is not his first time of referring to this movie as Ching Chong, Ching Chong. It's not the first time this year even that he's said Ching Chong, Ching Chong. In fact, virtually every single time, and we've been documenting this for years, virtually every single time he references an Asian, it's Ching Chong, Ching Chong. Going back, Julie Chen, when he did the sock puppet theater thing with her, it's Ching Chong, Ching Chong. When he got a call from a telemarketer last fall, he couldn't understand what they were saying because it was all Ching Chong, Ching Chong.
And when he ordered from the Chinese restaurant when Beth was gone out of town, he did the Ching Chong, Ching Chong thing too.
Right. Yeah, and it's currently acceptable racism to trash Asians.
Well, and not because of the coronavirus, which is raging through many countries, not just China and Korea and Singapore and just Italy now, Iran. It's something inherently racist about him. Clearly, I mean, don't we go back to Ben? Don't we go back to well, we don't want the Japs anymore.
That was his first one of the first audio recordings of him in history is him being racist towards Asians. He was born years after World War II ended.
Yeah.
This was recorded in 1960, most likely. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, anyway. And the first known recording of him is saying, we don't want the Japs anymore, and making a machine gun sound. And all we focus on is Ben reprimanding him for being racist.
Right.
We don't focus on him being racist.
Because they're not. They're only laughing at Ben. They're directing with the narrative where they want you to go with this. So the clip is really short. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have to say, I didn't realize fully until a few years ago that what prompted Ben to say, we don't want
shut
to
shut up, sit shut down. Up.
Yeah. Right. I told you not to be stupid, you moron. That's when his son said, we don't want the Japs anymore.
That's right. Oh, go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say, too, the racism of Howard during that clip when he was younger, all we got out of that. In what he wants us to see is how his dad treats him. We just bypass that entire racist thing he did as a child that is really terrible. And what he wants highlighted is, look at how my father treated me. Look at how abused I was, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to do the research, you can. The audio, eventually it'll show up on my channel, and there's other YouTube channels where you'll find it. Ben and Ray treated Howard wonderfully. They couldn't have doted on him more. And whatever this manufactured angst is or anger towards them is something we're going to approach in another future podcast on the show, like a psychological profile. But here's the initial comments on that day.
Oh, I watched that horrible movie that won the Oscar.
I knew you would not love Parasite. God. And Parasite is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Ding, dong, 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 dong,
you
dong,
didn't
dong.
Get to the good part.
Listen to Fred laugh.
I watched the whole movie.
Okay, so Robin inherently, she also knows he's racist too. She's been working next to him for however many, 40 years now, or getting close to 40 years. She has been, one of the questions was posed by Sam, which was a great question. How has he gotten a pass for so many years for these comments? And it's a good question because even at his height, he made incredibly racist stuff. The blackface, just that sketch with Whoopi Goldberg, Sherman Hemsley, who played, of course, George Jefferson as Whoopi, doing an imitation of an impression of the Friars Club roast, infamous Friars Club roast, where Ted Danson got into trouble for wearing blackface. And he shouts the N-word I don't know how many times, and it's not funny, and it's not fun. It's really hysterically awful. Sam?
Well, what I have a hard time understanding is how racism in the media is cherry-picked. Which celebrities get called to the forefront for being racist, and why people who have had a 30 years of audio racist comments you can find on YouTube at will all the time, any day, and that's never talked about. I mean, it's a treasure trove of racism, and that's just bypassed. But other people have to apologize profusely for sometimes a flippant comment or a hairstyle that appears to be racist.
Let's use, for example, Roseanne. It was a tweet that ruined her career. It essentially ruined her career. And she claims, I mean, anybody looking at it can research it, but that was just a tweet. He has decades of saying these things, and it's well past. Also, since, as you mentioned, Ben, it wasn't just in the 80s and in the 90s and early 2000s. It's been in the last however many years. He's been doing this Julie Chen Ching Chung thing. How is that acceptable? How is that not? And my question is, my theory is the only reason it doesn't get picked up, for two reasons. Number one, he's got payola going so that certain publications that would pick up on this don't, and he's paid them to keep his name out of it, which he's admitted to in the past. National Enquirer, TMZ, TMZ he hasn't admitted to, but according to the serious problem Reddit mole, which will be another show, ladies and gentlemen, in the future, he pays TMZ a certain amount of money per year to not publish any stories about him that are possibly bad press. So I think it's people don't actually listen to him anymore. So no one's there. No one in the media would know because they don't listen to him.
Well, I think that he's had a perfect storm of, in the 80s, when you wrote about Howard, if you criticized him, you were cast as a square grown-up who doesn't get hip contemporary humor. And when the FCC attention came his way, you had to defend him. Basically, because, hey, free speech. So even though you're sitting here and defending a child who is just using offensive words just for the prospect of ratings, you suddenly had to choose the side of, well, do I want to have him punished for words or do I not want to have him punished for words? And in a way, you're kind of having to say, I condone what he's saying. But I would say largely it is you don't want to be cast as the person who doesn't get humor. And that's what you're going to be cast as if you criticize Howard Stern or hold him accountable for anything he says.
Or so, back then, you didn't want to be the muzzle who said, you can only say some things, and if you don't say the things I like, you're going to be fined. You don't want to be that person either. You don't want to be the muzzle of his speech, even though you don't like it.
Okay, so let's use 2020, for example. He now has no ratings to speak of. There are no ratings. Right. There's no Arbitron system to figure out how many people are listening to him. So what motivation? So ratings aren't the motivation. This has to be just how he thinks. And we all know from the his TS tells, when things come blurting out of his mouth, we know from years of listening to him that that's him speaking how he really feels.
Yeah,
because anytime he has to lie and make something up, he stutters, he stammers, he is a long drawn out, over explained story, just like the Howard talking about Ralph and the condoms on the Private Parts trailer, the rider for this trailer. It's too convoluted. But when it comes out like that, snap that fast, I think that's really him, and I think he's admitted to that in several interviews. That's really him on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, he fluctuates.
Yeah,
either he's out of his mind or what you're.
I would say, okay, say he's not as popular now. Not as popular people have been brought to the public trial, let's say, of social media for who's racist and who's not by digging into their pasts on Twitter for tweets or past clips on YouTube for stand up. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So why does
Michael Richards?
If you're going to look up into people's, well, Michael Richards, that was a little bit different, but like Kevin Hart's tweets and he lost the Oscars. Mm-hmm. There's people who are being investigated on their entire history for, I caught you with the racist red hand 10, 15, 20 years ago. So my question is, why does he still...
I do think it's a fear of not getting, because Howard is prefaced as he's a satirist. So what he's doing is making fun of racism and racists. He couldn't possibly be racist. He's making fun of it. Now, this confuses people, and they go, well, I don't want to mix up. I don't want to get mixed up with this. And you know how you can tell people are confused is in the comment sections of the few times a notable publication would call him out. His defenders will race and say, you don't get him. You don't get comedy. You don't get that he's a satirist. You don't get that he's making fun of. You don't get that he works with a black woman. He couldn't possibly be racist.
That's the one aspect of their relationship between Robin and Howard that's always bothered me for many years. She is his racism get out of jail free card. How could I possibly be racist with a black woman? How could I be racist with a black woman sitting next to me, a black female? Well, he's racist about just about any race you'd care to name. Italians, Indians. How many times did Fred used to play that drop about people from Pakistan, even though he played tabla music from India or Sri Lankan or some story that Robin was talking about, or the chicken scratching. It's a chicken scratches when they played some, there was a Mexican
clucking
story.
Chickens. Yeah.
Clucking chickens. Yeah. That's right. Sorry,
do you
Sam.
Do you think if George Takei was still in studio as much, he would have done that?
George is another one where George is a stooge. He's not a bright guy. And
no, he's not.
He gives Howard a lot of leeway. Howard is allowed to go places because he's got George there that makes it okay for him to go those places. Because obviously he couldn't be homophobic. He's talking, there's a gay guy he's with.
There's
right
a gay old Asian in the room,
right,
and a black,
right.
He's got every demographic covered except right. Maybe, I don't know. Continental Europe, but
right.
So yeah, how could he also comports himself a certain way. There's an image of George, even though he's out and old and gay, that he seems to be sophisticated. He goes to plays. Yeah, no stereotype there. The fact that you're not allowed to make these jokes anymore should be enough to bring him down. Why isn't it? That's what I really, really don't understand.
Yeah, I do think that he is prefaced everything was with it's satire. And
then,
I think he's also in a unique position in that most journalists are of a certain age right now that they either grew up with their parents listening to Howard, and so they're aware of Howard,
yep.
Or they just don't know who he is at all. And he's kind of been great. You know, Adam Carolla talks about this, that Howard, like Snoop Dogg, is a certain kind of persona where you go, Snoop Dogg is allowed to go and smoke a joint anywhere he goes, even before it was legal in certain places, because he's Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
And Howard can go and make racial comments because he's Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in the 80s, they used to market Howard as he's Archie Bunker. That's what his WNBC employer bosses used to say. He's just mm-hmm. Archie Bunker. He's a
R.I.P. Carol O'Connor.
Yeah, he's a lovable, equal opportunity offender.
Right,
but,
like Don Rickles without the wit or charm or talent.
Yeah, right. So, but just going up there and saying, I'm going to say, how many times, when he refers to an Asian person, when he starts every sentence with, oh, me know this, me know that, every single time, you know, when he goes to get shiny buff, it's all repeated, it's all short sentences, clipped. It's all sauce on side. You're right. It doesn't matter the ethnicity of the Asian.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how I suspect he would do the same impression of George if George wasn't such a fixture on the show. But it's been constant, and he gets a free pass because he's a satirist. And I'm using quotation marks when I say that.
Do you think
a very
if enough?
Bad one.
Yeah. Do you think he's more not at all? I think if it got to the right publications in Asia and they attacked him on Twitter, it might be different. But you'd have to, in order for them to do that, they'd have to know who he was first. And that's what works in his favor, I suppose.
Yeah. There are enough dumb people out there who will feverishly defend him and say,
yeah,
you don't understand satire. The man
right.
is mocking racism.
Right.
He's not satirical about anything.
No, he's not. He's not a satirist. So he doubles down in the same day, everybody. This is still the 18th, and I'll play this. This is near the Robin's News.
Yeah, Billy. Billy from Where's this guy from? He's from New York. Okay, Billy.
He's from the back room.
I'm in New York. How you doing?
I know. I know.
Hey, I want to totally agree with you on that review of Parasite. It's the worst piece of garbage I've ever seen.
Of course.
I sat there for 2 hours and read the screen because it was a waste of, like, a cheap Japanese movie.
Yes.
Oh, cheap you Korean guys movie. Just want the same movie over and over again. That's your problem. Well, they can't help their language.
Sure they can.
Well, yeah.
What?
Learn to speak English. South Korea is like part of our country.
Learn how to speak English.
South Korea is part of our country. I mean, that should have a number of countries up in arms, mostly South Korea. But and don't think that there's not enough netizens out there to put your Twitter in serious jeopardy anytime something like that happens. In Asia especially, they overload sites. They overload, and then you get so many complaints. You imagine Howard waking up, a guy who has his Google alerts, and Beth does too, set for his name, and finding out that there's a million, you know, the Straits Times or all these newspapers talking about how racist he is. That's so that we'll get into that a little later in the show, the defense he's used. But as we go into that particular day, there's not a whole lot on that day except for a David Spade interview later on. And before then, there's a lot of Super Bowl talk, which, as we know, he doesn't really give a shit about football. However, he does go on a little rant about J-Lo and what the halftime show should be like. So we're going to play a bit of that.
God, I'm telling you, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame put out this 25-year anniversary thing. I don't know. Somebody sent it to me. And I'm watching it over vacation, and it's just one performer, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. Perfect blend of voices. First, Paul Simon plays the guitar like a saint. I mean, that dude finger picks like I never saw. He's got big, long nails, and he finger picks.
What saint plays guitar?
And Paul Simon is not famous. He's not known as a guitarist. This is how little Wig knows about music. Anybody that can strum a couple chords on a guitar is Hendrix to him. And
I would just love to say, can you please name 3 Simon and Garfunkel songs? Go and see what happens.
Right.
March of the Pigs, the Ocean.
Wait a minute. Let's start with, can you name 3 songs? Go. Name game.
Well, we know Bat Dance would be there and
Bat Dance. Heart.
And maybe Black Hole Sun.
Talent, yeah, on right? This guy. Exactly. He wrote Bridge Over Troubled Water. Then he plays it on... And he lets Art Garfunkel sing it. Then the two of them harmonized. Then they had Graham Nash and David Crosby came out with Paul Simon and did Here Comes the Sun, and a tribute to George Harrison. You should hear the harmony and the fucking music. And you go, nobody has to take their clothes off. Nobody has to dance around and run around.
Well, he'd love that if they took their clothes off. What's he talking about? Yeah. Nothing sexier to him than Graham Nash and Paul Simon doing a naked version of Sounds of Silence together. Which is so Sounds of Silence Madonna, is actually perfect for a theme for this show.
He loves Madonna, but he hates when performers take their clothes off.
Right. Yeah. Someone who made
he
their
loves
career.
Lady Gaga, and she's always, but, you know, half naked, which is great. But, who cares?
Yeah. But J-Lo and Shakira fall into the acceptable for Howard. You can mock them because they're not white. They're not Caucasian. Go ahead.
And they're women.
Oh yeah,
let's be honest. That's the real motivation. They're women, and also J Lo has given him the Bronx nod. She's given him the hi hat for her entire career. I don't think she was ever on the show except for one little bit where Ben Affleck called in, and that was when he was still dating her, and she went on the show and kind of said hello. That's it, and took off. But he's had her sister in. He's friends with her sister.
That's what I was
desperately
say.
Trying to get in with her. So
yeah, he wants the only reason if those two were on the show ever, this conversation would never be happening. He would have praised the performances. They would have been the saints. So
absolutely.
This is why I would love to have Yoko come on the show, because now he will become the world's biggest Yoko Ono fan.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah come on the show. I would love for these things to happen, because then you will see the most spineless, gross man. Mm-hmm. He'll move the show to 5 in the afternoon, to 9 o'clock at night, whatever Oprah demands, he'll do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sort of like he's doing to J-Lo what he did to Kathy Lee over the years, which was, I'm envious that you're everything that I'm not. I just am so jealous.
Which, ironically enough, we're going to do another rescinded episode for Kathy Lee. It just takes a lot longer because there's so the history of the clips is so much more vast. He would do. You're right. He would go to the Dakota and record Yoko there, on her bed if he had to, just to get that interview.
Around on the stage, you're fucking crying. It's so good. And then Sting and Stevie Wonder are on this thing, and they're doing Higher Ground and Roxanne, and they blend them together, and Stevie's singing like Sting sings, and you go, motherfucking talent, and Stevie Wonder's pinky is greater than J-Lo and Shakira put together times 10.
But he also sounds so out of touch when he goes on these rants. He really does sound
Stevie
his age.
Stevie sings like Sting sings? Yeah. What does that even mean?
It means he's a good cover artist.
The Super Bowl is not a talent show. This is popularity. Yeah. These people are these women are very popular. And Shakira had something. Doesn't J-Lo have 50 million Instagram followers or something like that? And Shakira
it's
has like 50-
visual. The halftime show is visual. If somebody got up on stage for the Super Bowl halftime show with an acoustic guitar and started harmonizing Bridge Over Troubled Water,
I would have loved
the fuck out of there. So
I would have loved that. Yeah. Can you imagine this amped up Super Bowl crowd and everyone's like, shh, 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 trying to hear him.
Howard's version, this is going to go over most people's heads, but just Google it after you watch the podcast or pause us and then watch it. Wendy and Lisa from Prince and the Revolution released a song called Waterfall. And I think in the video, it might just be like Wendy in an acoustic guitar sitting down. And that would be his idea of a halftime show like that. That's the equivalent of that picture of him and Ralph at the Metallica concert wearing those tunics and scarves. That's the image of him I have watching a show, looking at it like, what is this? What exactly, that befuddled look on his face.
The unintentional laughs always come from, he introduces a problem. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're following you. You don't like this. And then his solution is what always gives you the unintentional laughs. Because when he said that James Taylor would have been better, that was my first laugh of the year. Maybe not of the year, of his return. Because the idea of James Taylor rocking this amped up Super Bowl crowd in Miami.
You've got a friend.
Yeah.
Well, that's more in line of his musical taste. Let's be honest. That's at least he's being honest about that. That's the one moment of truth. But he's missing. He's not actually. You have to.
He likes Coffee House. We know this. So totally. He wants a Coffee House performance for the Super Bowl halftime show. Okay, fine. That's not what the majority of America likes to see for a halftime show. Sorry. I mean, he argues his point so horribly, and he's missing the fact that it's about ratings and shaking ass, a bunch of dancers and special effects and J-Lo on a stripper pole will win over James Taylor. Sorry.
Yeah. And it's
predominantly a male audience. That's the other thing.
Right. And it's the Super Bowl halftime show. It's not like it's the most important. This is what we want to be remembered by as a society.
Right.
It's just, here's 12 minutes to entertain you.
And he acts like harmonizing is something amazing. I was in choir in high school. It's just every high school harmonizes. We harmonize. There's altos and sopranos. And it's like not that big of a deal. It's like,
those are two. Fine. Those are two things on his list of mega talent: memorizing and harmonizing.
Yeah, that's
true. If you can memorize, you're Thomas Edison. How
long did it take you to write that song? That's his big thing too, is set a stopwatch, go.
What's this song about? The David Spade interview was only really significant for a couple things. Number one, David's got a show now on Netflix. I forget the exact name, but it's a talk show, isn't it?
Comedy Central, isn't it?
Is it Comedy Central? I thought it was Netflix. Or has he got his, he, sorry, he was discussing, no, he was discussing a Ted Sarandos party that had a bunch of Netflix comedians there, like 20 comedians and their wives and spouses or whatever partners in the room. And then he started asking him about all the cool parties. So Starfucker wants to ask Spade about the cool parties.
What are the Oscars? In other words, I see every year
that
people who live in LA who are famous, who are celebrities, there are certain parties that people go to.
Yeah.
And what are the best parties? Some parties, it appears, are not cool parties.
I know, yeah.
What is the party to get into?
Well,
I hate how he goes into scenarios like he's an alien from outer space. Like, there are these parties that celebrities go to. You have been famous for 30 years. Why are you presenting this scenario like you're a foreigner and you've never been famous? It's ridiculous. He sounds so stupid.
Yeah. He's collecting his pension at this point. And he's worried about these parties. Ultimately, it's really him still wanting to be eating at the cool kids' table. And that's always been what it's about. And Spade, we're going to get into this with the Kobe thing and Jimmy Kimmel.
Why can't
as well.
He just flat out ask him like he used to back in the day when he's approaching a subject like, so I heard you were at this party. How was that? I mean, why not that? Why is it I've heard of these parties?
He's been to some of these fucking parties. You've seen the pictures of him at Puffy's white party looking like something the tide washed in. And all dressed in white, which really, Howard, don't ever dress in white again.
Looks like he was just thrown in a pool. As a joke.
In Egyptian linens, actually, yeah. And I don't know this is one other thing that bothers me. I don't understand how Spade can be a fan of the show in 2020. He comes in regularly for these junkets. He has a friendship with Howard. Do you think it's something he just puts up with?
Well, I think he trolls him a little during this.
He does. Later on, I've got
that
clip. He
seems to genuinely like it, though, because according to Howard, he'll text him saying, I'm loving this crank call, or I'm loving this bit right now. And they have a weird relationship. I think Spade was with Rob Zombie and Beth when 2 months before Howard and Beth claimed to have met.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember back in 2000 when Howard went to the Grammys for the weekend in L.A., Grammy party.
Mm-hmm.
They did a report on Howard and his mystery girlfriend. Now, yes. I can't find that actual segment. And I would love to find it, the video. So I have to rely on a photo that is rumored to be the actual photo that was shown, which is clearly Beth with Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
But David Spade was hanging out with him that weekend as well. And I wonder if his devotion to both Spade and Rob Zombie has something to do with them keeping their mouths shut about Beth when they claim to have met 2 months later.
Wow, interesting. I hadn't even considered that, but that would have been the time. And as I was saying to Sam earlier in one of the earlier episodes we did, it wasn't as if Howard, even though now he'll say, oh, my wife of however many years, it wasn't as if in 2000 and 2001, especially 2000, 1999, he wasn't extremely tight-lipped about Beth being in the picture. He barely mentioned her by name. In fact, I don't think he mentioned her by name until 2001. And that might have been after the Stuttering John fight, cabbie fight.
Well, I know that in 2000, the press started picking up and identifying her by name.
Yeah.
Later in 2000.
If we get on the Beth hole, we'll never get out.
Yeah, we may not. And near the end of the interview, basically he starts crying about Ted Sarandos. We know that he's desperate for that Netflix money to get some kind of special, but he wants the money. He doesn't actually want to do a special. He's not a comedian. Stern just wants in on Netflix for something. And
yeah, he just wants Ted to pay for what was basically the E! Show or Howard TV. I don't
something
do lift
like
a finger.
That.
You just put a camera over there and we air the best of.
Yeah. And he's jealous. He's jealous of all these comedians making tens of millions for their specials.
Yeah.
And he wants a piece of
that. But those specials are work. Those to craft a special takes a lot of effort and material and time. Howard doesn't want to do any of that work.
No, and he's not capable of it. These are comedians. They'll do a special and they can't do that material again. What's he going to do? Go up, do Ching Chong and sock puppets for 40 minutes on a Netflix special?
And how sick is it? You know, Letterman, of all people, pointed this out to Howard when, I forget the name of the executive. There was I think he was a Paramount executive. Was it Brad Gray?
Brad Gray.
Howard was friends with Brad Gray, and Letterman goes, you go to dinner with Brad Gray? This was on Letterman's show.
Yep.
And he goes, he's such a weasel.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Grey, I believe, is the same guy who like betrayed Gary Shandling.
They had a very acrimonious thing. I'll talk about that in another podcast, actually.
Right. But
Letterman and Shandling went back years at the Comedy Store together. So they had a long friendship.
In any case, Letterman sort of made the line. I'm sorry for the coughing, guys. There's talent and then there's executives. You don't need to mingle and go and have dinner with these people. Howard always chooses to mingle with the executives.
Oh, yes.
And Ted Sarandos is one of them. We hear the name Ted Sarandos at least once per week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can't mention Netflix without him mentioning Ted Sarandos.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Ted Sarandos was at the birthday bash 5 years ago.
Yep.
6 years ago. But I have a friend on Instagram who's a photographer, and he posted a shot that he took for Hollywood Reporter, I think it was. And it was at Ted Sarandos' office. And he just said, here's behind the scenes. Just as a, you know, swipe through. And you can see the picture framed of the billboard cover of Howard. You know, that says, like, free at last, forever, it's on Sirius. And I assume, first of all, that that was not something Ted framed himself.
No way.
Why would he? I believe that Howard gave those out as birthday thank yous. Thank you for coming to my party. Here's a framed picture of me. And Ted hung it in his office. But it's very strange that all these years later, you remember the birthday bash was Howard shopping for a new channel because he had lost Howard TV a year earlier, and he and Marcy had worked on his brand. This is going to be the new star-friendly Howard Stern. And anyway, we've been hearing Ted Sarandos' name since.
I think that's interesting, the frame picture that you mentioned, because remember during the summit video when the Marcy edict started being implemented during that summit video that was leaked, he mentioned Jimmy Kimmel giving a frame picture of him and Howard when he was on his show and how thoughtful that was and how he wanted to start doing things like that.
Mm-hmm. The thing is,
so now you get the birthday show and he's giving people frame photos.
Yeah.
The birthday show. God, please. Cause I want to talk a little bit
really
about
quick.
That.
Do you remember 2 years ago, I think it was, CBS Sunday Morning did a thing on Jimmy Kimmel, and they showed him at his office, and here's the daily, here's what he does in the morning, here's the work through, what hard work it is. And in his office is a gigantic drawing of him and Howard, dressed up in suits, smiling. Howard obviously drew it. Mm-hmm. And Howard cut out from the picture Robin. He did not draw Robin. So it's just funny that, of course, here's me and you blown up really big. Jimmy's not going to go put that in his living room. So he puts it in his office at work. But I screen capped it immediately. I laughed out loud when I saw it. It's split second in the background.
Well, the birthday show is particularly funny because, you're right. It has the look of somebody shopping a pilot to a network hoping to, because he was never going to, when he lost the Howard TV deal, and again, it was according to the Reddit mole, that there was something in the contract that Don missed, that if it wasn't picked up, the in-demand, the Howard TV staff the show, Sirius would own the rights to the video, which is why you don't see it anymore. So they decided we're going to let... I think also it has to do with the fact that he probably was making way less money and decided, nope, these guys are going. I can't afford to lose $1 million, which was about the total cost of the Howard TV crew salaries.
Well, but those salaries were paid for by In Demand. They were employees of In Demand.
Isn't it possible part of the budget that Howard was given was used to pay In Demand to pay for their services?
That budget's not coming in anymore with those channels gone.
That's what I'm saying. So if he's losing money, they're losing money. So that's why, hence the stories about Fred taking a pay cut and Gary taking a huge pay cut, but not Robin. And the Netflix one, the birthday show had such an air of desperation about it that you could just, in my mind, Ted Sarandos knows all the scuttlebutt in the industry about don't get in bed with Howard business-wise because you're just going to get fucked. And he's not going to lift a finger, and he's going to take the money and give you a shit product. And if that was him shopping,
well, remember that film fest that he tried to do, the Howard Stern film fest.
One time,
I watched that whole thing. It's severely not many people even know about it because it wasn't shown that much, and it zero impact whatsoever. It only happened once. You can barely find anything about it, but I do have, I saved the entire thing, so I have it. It's embarrassing beyond belief. Artie MC'd the thing. I just think he's always tried to these were his intentions of shopping here. I'm going to put out this thing and hopefully somebody bites.
Well, that's most likely the case. I mean, the Fox pilots are a perfect indicator of what he could do if he was given a certain kind of budget. He didn't have to go into his own marbles for it. In fact, probably took most of the budget himself and left very little for the production design and for salaries and stuff. And when he's left to his own devices, this is what he comes up with: the craptacular, or this bathroom Olympics. That's the level his brain works at. I think there's only one more thing about Spade, and Spade makes a little dig at him. And I'll play it right now.
This is good,
and it's definitely been fun. Is this the part where you go, David Spade, you've done it all?
Yeah, you've done it all. where did I read it?
Did you feel it?
Jimmy Fallon says he does a good impression of you doing it.
Yeah, but
this gives you the idea that they mock him behind his back. Clearly, I mean, this is him outright saying we talk about you like you're, I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
You've said it all is the expression, yeah, not you've that, done
that's,
it all.
That's right. He got a little mistake. He got, well, I don't blame Spade.
Sometimes
he's busy.
I think he does do you've done it all. Does he?
Really?
I can't.
I've never heard it, but I've seen you've said it all is the phrase that sticks out.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you're right.
So Wednesday the 19th is not really worth reviewing. A speech impediment man came in. Called in. Sorry, my mistake. And it's not really noteworthy. I don't believe any of us want. There's nothing on the 19th you guys want to cover, is there?
No.
So we'll go straight to Monday the 24th, which was wonderful because we got to hear some classic.
Can I tell you something that happened? Let me tell you something quickly. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
I
by
love
all means.
This.
So on Thursday night, so Howard's last day is on Wednesday. Then there's Thursday night, and Trump holds a rally. I forget what city he was in, where to kill time, I watched it. To kill time, as he asked somebody to go get him some stats that he wanted to read, he starts talking about the Oscars, which he hadn't commented on yet. And he talks about Brad Pitt, that Brad Pitt's a wise guy. He made some comments. He goes, I was never a fan of his work. Then he says, and they give the best picture to this South Korean movie. All the problems we're having with South Korea, they give it the best picture. And he goes, I see best picture. I thought, oh, best foreign film, but best picture? And then he goes, I haven't seen it. Is it any good? He asked the crowd. Now, of course, the press in America says this is racism and so on. So, Fillmore, my first post in your group on the next day, the very next day was Howard Stern. I screen capped the media's reaction to Trump, and I said Howard Stern will now claim to love all Ching Chong Ching movies to prove he isn't racist. And the very first thing when they come back on Monday is Howard is a hero who points out racism when he sees it.
Well, yes, and when I heard it, because I hear after the fact, I get the show and I listen to it well after. Not well after, but maybe a couple days after the fact, and I give my own little. I tell a couple people about what I think about certain things, and in this case, when I heard about Sal and Ronnie, and this bullshit manufactured story about Ching Chong Charlie. This was Ronnie saying this was some prank that he decided as a kid they did to a Chinese restaurant, and then Sal's BTS. Rant or whatever you want to call a story about BTS that sounded like complete manufactured horseshit to protect himself from future fallout if it was going to come. Sam,
do you think that Howard asked them to do this?
That's my question. Who instigated this? Marcy or somebody like Marcy or Howard after seeing some Trump tweets get bashed or something? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Do you think that he knew that he made those comments about Parasite the week before the Trump thing happened? He calls out the racism. Do you think that he, had these two come in and basically do a minstrel show to forget about the comments that he made?
I don't think that's what happened here. I want to just really quickly do a sidebar. The Kobe Bryant thing. When Kobe Bryant died, Howard goes on the air the next day and makes it all about himself. And how if I was to die, you know, it was all about how he I'm the number one guy in radio. He's not the number one athlete of all time. It was very insensitive.
Thinks like that.
Yeah, it was very insensitive stuff. It was very, you know, so, you know, the comedian Ari Shaffir gets taken down because he goes on Twitter and within a day, within hours of Kobe dying, he is he does a rant against Kobe and his career is just, you know, completely derailed and sledgehammered.
Yep.
I believe that when we heard, I think it was the very next day, this suddenly new creation of Magic Mirror, this fantasy mirror who Howard talks to and it tells him, you're the greatest of all, you're the great, you're the best, you're the king, whatever, to make light of his narcissism. Now, I think that this was created when they saw, holy shit, Howard, you just went on and did 2 hours of radio. How about you're more important than Kobe Bryant? We need to deflect and and make it seem like it was all a joke because your ego is so big. So I think that the back office people, maybe Marcy's leading it or whatever, I think they're working these things up. And Howard isn't even aware that that's why they're doing it for him, to protect him.
Right. So it's damage control.
I can tell you, he didn't like when Magic Mirror got jokey. He liked it when it kept on being compliments. He didn't like it when it would make comments, you know, like, oh, yeah, you're the best. He wanted it to be real. So he didn't grasp the concept of the joke. So I don't think they even let him in on, here's why it's very important that we do this for you. So I believe they volunteered to Howard, you know, Sal's racist, right? He told a coworker that he thinks BTS and their crew have coronavirus. Now, they were protecting Howard, but I don't think he knew they were protecting him.
So you think it was external? You think someone decided
I think, in case? I think that they are very concerned with Howard's image all the time, as they should be. This is their livelihood.
And he constantly is stepping on landmines.
Yeah, he's constantly stepping on landmines. And you don't want to dare call him racist or dare say, you know, you're going way over the line here. I think you just he's not going to turn down free content. And so anyway, I don't think that he said, I'm in a bind. I look racist. I need these guys to help me.
I'm of two minds because I could see somebody like Robin or somebody like even Beth. Not that I think she's that sensitive about the plight of
Beth
the Asians.
Beth does not care one bit about the show or him.
I don't know. I see someone that could say this to him, like Robin. She might actually say, "Listen, you might want to think about that Ching Chong stuff again." But it'd be more likely to be someone behind the scenes, like a Marcy, who gets him on the phone because she can. Because she's David Allen incarnate, basically, and now she's married into the family, so to speak. So let's do something. And I could see her doing that without his knowledge and just saying, look, we've decided to do this. Number one, it's content for you to bullshit about and not have to talk about your life for next week when you get on the air. So it's filler. So it works a couple of ways. I have the BTS one, so I'm going to play that. It's just going to take about a minute.
All right. So what?
So what?
That doesn't carry the coronavirus.
You really were upset for real, or were you doing a shtick when you saw
Howard,
those
I walked
Korean
in.
Boy band?
Dude, there was 30 Asian people
there.
Yeah, but all I thought of that, all I thought about, and it has nothing to do with them being Asian. But
yes, it does.
Well, they were Asian, yes. It has a lot to do with them being Asian.
But you just said it has nothing to do with them being Asian, but it has a lot to do with
everything. I mean, the fact that they were, because I'm saying locally Asian would be fine, but these guys are definitely flying. They came from Asia. They're coming here.
How do you know where they came from?
They're an Asian
boy band. I was on a plane with BTS.
You were?
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be here.
Now, they're good, sometimes good actors, but Sal's not good enough anymore to get away with these I'm stupid, I'm racist things anymore. Years ago, you could buy some of these things, like not the IQ test. But do you guys remember years ago when they did that faux I'm retiring and Sal started bawling and breaking down?
Yeah.
There was nothing about that wasn't fake.
Now, I'm going to defend Sal here. Sal has a low, a relatively low IQ, isn't it? About 102, something like that. Higher than Howard's, but apparently. About. I mean, a little. It's average IQ.
Yeah.
And Sal is very freaked out by media. When the media reports on something, he freaks out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the media in America has been going hysterical about how horrendous, life-threatening, dangerous this coronavirus is. So it worked on Sal. He's paranoid. So I'm trying to figure out where Howard and his crew find the racism in this. Because Howard's – and this was written about in Variety, by the way, that Sal commented on this and Howard defended all Asians. Is it that Sal – because according to Howard, these guys, they're not Chinese. They're Korean.
Yeah.
Sal didn't say they were Chinese. And, you know, while China has the most cases of coronavirus, you know who has the second most? South Korea. That's where these guys are from. So Howard didn't – Sal didn't say these guys are Chinese. He said somebody here has coronavirus. Now, Howard says, you think a Korean is Chinese? That's racist. Do you – are you guys willing to say that if you cannot identify the ethnicity of an Asian, that you're racist? Because – there are quizzes online that you can go take right now, and if you don't get 20 out of 20 for identifying their faces, then using your logic, you're racist. So I think Howard's staff is depressingly, aggravatingly woke. They find racism in everything, and they delight in telling you that you're racist.
Well,
I don't think they would be willing to say
also
that-
too. People who are traveling are quarantined from certain places. And this is common knowledge that you have to wait 14 days if you've been in certain areas or have come from certain places on air bases and other places that you have to, that you have to be quarantined and tested if you do have that virus.
Well,
so
the point that I'm making is does it bother Howard's staff so much that Sal doesn't know that he misidentified the ethnicity of someone?
No.
So therefore he's racist. Or is it that he thinks that everybody Asian is carrying the coronavirus? In that case, I would say, well, blame the media. The media is making you hysterical that you're going to die of coronavirus. And Sal is very easily influenced by the media.
Well, this is people may be confusing complete ignorance and stupidity for racism. Not that racism doesn't have its roots in ignorance and stupidity, but in this case, yeah, I wouldn't call it racist. Completely ill-informed. Yeah, he's just ignorant
and panicked.
Yeah. I mean, when you say African, first of all, people, how many countries are in Africa? Be more specific. Are they from Cote d'Ivoire? Are they from Senegal? Are they from Congo? There are different countries, guys. It's not just Africa.
But what if the guy says, I'm Jamaican. You've insulted me.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm Trinidadian, or does Trinidad Tobago? How do I'm Trinidadian or whatever. Anyway, the whole idea was, I think this is, again, just a manufactured to save his ass in case he got in trouble, which, as it turned out, he really didn't, aside from this one article.
He's not in trouble in that article. He's presented as the hero.
Who, Howard?
And all the – yes, Howard is.
Near the end, though, we're talking about the one from the goat, right?
No, I'm talking about the one that started it all, the Variety article.
The Variety article.
The Variety article is just a guy who covers K-pop.
Yeah.
So he covers anything related to do with Korean pop. Right. And so for the first time ever, the Korean pop is discussed on the Howard Stern show. And he's pointing out that Sal is racist because he thinks that that this Korean band is either he's racist because he thinks they're Chinese, which I don't know why you think that's racist. He made a mistake. But anyway, they decided this racist, and the comments are all, they're anti-Sal. It wasn't until, so I made, there were a couple people who made comments, including myself, that said, why are you ignoring Howard's review of Parasite if you're so concerned about South Korea? He said last week that he couldn't watch it because it's Ching Chong, Ching Chong. Mm-hmm. And what about whatever he says about Julie Chen and so on? And all those comments got wiped out.
How many would you say were up by the time they just got deleted?
And I can tell you, I was, I think, the 12th comment.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I commented, I inadvertently clicked notify me new comments. I didn't know that's what was. So I kept on getting emails every time there was a new comment.
Okay.
And I would say there were probably 20 comments total before they all got wiped out. I took screen captures of this too. Then they started allowing them again for some reason. And by this point, the tide had turned and it was all talking about how Howard says this, Howard says this. And, you know, I commented on Variety's Twitter post, also their tweet.
Yeah.
And the tides had turned and I actually had to click stop notifying me about new posts. I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
I don't know how many posts there are now. But it seemed to me at first like they were trying to protect Howard because they were thinking this is not how we wanted this conversation to go.
Right. And so in the end, there were still a few. I haven't checked it since. It was 17 comments last I checked. And it was, it was definitely more, oh, guys, you don't get satire. You don't get, he's just joking, whatever. I wish, obviously, Michael Richards could have benefited from that defense, but it didn't seem to work.
Yeah.
And now I found an article yesterday that I was looking at. It was just, it's really like a fan. It's called goat.com.au. And it's just a website in Australia. And it's called Howard Stern's Defense of BTS from Coronavirus Slurs Doesn't Excuse His Own Racism. Sounds like Howard is protecting himself from BTS fans more than anything. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but down near the bottom, it talks about Sal and Ronnie's comments, but mostly Sal's. I think it's, it was Sal. And near the end, and they quote actually Uncle Larry and Rapscallion in the Twitter feed saying, which is kind of odd. And they also post the video that Arm made that when he called into the wrap up show. And they post it, they don't quote it. But then near the bottom, it says there's no denying that Howard Stern is a great radio host. I take issue with this. whose defense of BTS.
These guys are Australian. They've never heard Howard Stern before.
Probably not. Whose defense of BTS from Sal's racist coronavirus comments is commendable. However, there's also no denying that Howard is a racist himself and his staunch BTS defense doesn't excuse his own xenophobia, no matter how hard he tries to control the narrative. If anything, all this shows that Howard Stern is more concerned, about incurring the wrath of BTS fans than actually calling out a racist for their offensive comments. So I got in touch with this guy.
No, he's not about BTS fans.
No,
I wish people would start like referring to him as like an old war horse of radio or something. Like, I hate the great. I hate that adjective to describe him as a host.
Yeah,
it's almost like when you introduce like Don Rickles used to do at a roast. You know, this guy, classy guy, fantastic guy, married a hooker from Bayonne. Trying his. Like there, he does get what's the expression? Eulogized before he's actually dead. In a lot of these articles, he does get all these unnecessary props for things that really he never originated. And
well, just like the moniker "King of All Media," like that's what he's synonymous with, and it couldn't be any less true.
Certainly not social media. So that was the 24th. So Ben, you wanted to talk a little bit about the Bloomberg talk. He was referencing the debate.
Howard said that I laughed again at this when he said that he lost sleep thinking about Bloomberg's poor performance in the debates, which was for a guy who pretends to be a Democrat. And I've been saying this for years, you guys. He's not a Democrat. He pretends to be a Democrat. There's a lot of advantages to pretending to be a Democrat. You can book guests to your show. You can be invited to write parties. I'm talking about if you're a Hollywood guy like Howard.
Right.
Or an entertainment guy like Howard. There's a lot of benefits to it. And I've been pointing out in forums, he's not a Democrat. It's an act. He's a faker. And he's not one. The only thing that he the only thing that he sees eye to eye with Democrats on is pro-choice, and that's because he's pro-abortion, not choice. But everything else, he doesn't agree with anything. He doesn't want social programs. He doesn't want, no. And the least of all, he has in common, the last person he has anything in common with is Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's suddenly gone. He's like hopscotch from candidates from who he loved. You know, he loved Cory Booker, and he loved, I forget who it was earlier, Pete Buttigieg, who just dropped out tonight. Yeah. He's embraced virtually everyone except for Bernie. And now he's turned his show into an anti-Bernie show of this past week.
Well, according to the Marx friggin' rundown, because politics bores me and I'm not American. So, again, as I've told you guys before we started recording, I don't really give a crap about. I mean, I do care peripherally because it is news and I do watch it. But according to Marx friggin', it says here, another caller asked how he could back someone who's so against guns when he's a Second Amendment guy. Howard exactly. Howard said he's not a Democrat and you can't be a one issue guy. I don't think Howard is really an any issue guy, to be honest.
It's whatever affects his personal life. That is the only thing he cares about. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit about the world or our country or how it affects the broader picture of people's lives. It just affects his pocketbook and anything that has to do with his life. That's it. Mm-hmm. And the Democratic thing is also a good way to starfuck and, be bros.
Well, you can't do it if you're not that. You can't.
If you're a registered Republican and you're on record, socially as being a Republican, it's almost impossible.
Look at guys Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan. They're called white supremacists sometimes because they are willing to talk to both sides.
Yeah. On the 24th, the same day, there was a game show called it was a game called Guess the Animal That's Fucking. And I promise you, everybody, if you haven't heard it, it's as vile as you might imagine. So I'm only going to play a very, very short clip, and you can decide for yourselves.
These animals are having sex right now. Here we go.
Sounds like Beth after a Coke party.
Almost like he's trolling us at this point, that this is even a segment.
Don't you think he should have played Closer by Nine Inch Nails as the background music for this?
Now, if you were in school and you were caught playing this game, you would be sent for mental health counseling because you're trying to say to people, and you got this big smile on your face, guess what animals these are? You're not even calling it mating. You're calling it fucking.
Yeah.
This it's disgusting. And he's supposed to be an animal activist. And he's got this pride in hearing animals. He's not even calling it mating. Like I said, they're fucking. Yeah. He made comments like, one of them, he said, oh, her pussy is so wet. He said about one of them. This is disgusting,
right?
And the last person satisfaction about this depraved shit, it's so bizarre.
Yeah,
he's a sick guy. Yeah, this is not satire. This is not satire making fun of people who love to hear animals mate, because there aren't any.
Well, this is, and also I imagine if they're filming all this, this is going to be, what are they going to, show video of the animals fucking? And that's the benefit of seeing the thing on video. It made no sense to me when I heard it. And all I was thinking was, SiriusXM, please, please, like, listen to your own shows once in a while to find out how awful they are.
I also have to say, so these ideas come up in a writer's meeting or whatever before. Who came up with this idea if it wasn't Howard? And
Howard
this,
doesn't come up with ideas.
Who would even think of this? And do you think that they're thinking of these ideas as, what do I think Howard will like? Okay, depraved acts that animals do and the sounds they make.
I could see it being a Richard bit, but then not crediting Richard would be Howard these days because he doesn't credit anybody with any bits. It's just something on the show because the show is more important than any individual credit. Because Richard has to go through, like, you know, sound clips and edit sound clips. So he might have stumbled across one video just going through the YouTube wormhole and then said, man, maybe we could put something like this together. So
he would say, if it was Richard came up with the dumbest game. This is so sick. anyway, let's play it. He would do that kind of thing normally. He sort of signed off on this. I mean, he signed off on this game. He promoted it.
Well, he enjoyed it.
He enjoyed it. And there, you know, I think that there's a, I think that he gets a, I think he's got a kink, and he likes making people uncomfortable with sex.
Yeah.
And talking about his own masturbation, talking about his, he likes to make people uncomfortable with it. I think it's a kink of his. Mm-hmm. I think he gets off on it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought here. But
it's all right. The animal fucker.
I would too.
Yeah, like, sorry.
I mean, who even comes when you come up with this idea? Who would even want to explore this idea? You would have to sit here and take clips of animals having sex. It's just insane to me.
You know what it reminds me of? A YouTube video already put together, and they just took it.
Maybe. You know, it reminds me of in the book, the Tom Shales book, Live from New York. They talk about a sketch that had been around so long and no one ever did it. And then Matthew Broderick did it, ironically enough. It was just about penis, penis, penis all day long, penis, penis, penis song. And it was just, that was the whole, there was no punchline. That was just it. And then the guy said, oh, wow, they found someone to do it. This sounds like the bottom, the very marrow of the buffalo being used as fodder. So in the same day, later on, around 8:45, this guy from Narcos, Mexico, Scoot McNary called in, which is odd because he stopped doing call-ins a long time ago, didn't he? Like whenever semi-celebrities were on.
He wanted them for his video.
Yes. Or if they weren't big enough, like a guy like this would go in the wrap-up show. But that's not allowed anymore either. Right. Well, it can be. These days, maybe it still does happen. I'm not sure. But at any rate, the only thing funny about it was at one point, I wish I'd got the audio, but I just said, nah, it's not worth it. His question was, did they call kids call you Scoot because you were cool?
He's only unintentionally funny. It's never, and he think that's a cool name, Scoot?
Scoot,
but,
yeah.
What I was going to say earlier was, Howard promoted this app, this productivity app that he uses and swears by, and I guess he says that he records all of his ideas for the show on this app. So I was picturing him walking around and just speaking into his app, animals fucking, the sounds of animals fucking. Or that other one, is this person black? Remember that game? Are they white or are they black?
Yes. Well, that's now we're going into the 25th. So
was it after that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the 25th, where he starts talking about, he says, the app is called Brain Toss. I hope we're not giving them any publicity because of this. He said how it's changed his life. He has it has a big microphone and an email and a photograph. It's almost like a kid's, you know, in a kindergarten class, how you might see huge signs saying washroom this way, you know, pee pee here. So he says you can use it to take notes. Most phones, Android or iPhone, have a voice recorder. What's the difference? Yeah. He said he's so this is the clip. It's all about getting things done. He brings it back to that. So the first thing, let me see if I got this right.
I have zero, zero inbox. Do you know that?
I have zero inbox. Aww. I love that quote.
You know what? You know what? That's nothing to brag about, because he forbade his employees from emailing him, for one thing.
Sure.
So to brag that you have no emails when you forbade your employees from emailing you, that's sort of a false victory there.
Well, he goes into this a little longer. It's about getting things done. And this was, God, now we're going 7 years back, I suppose, because there's nothing he won't talk about again and again. And this, but the getting things done thing, he seems to not talk about a whole lot. It's just every so often.
But no, I'm a big disciple of this guy, David Allen, Getting Things Done, the book. And all it is it teaches you how to organize yourself. Changed my life. I used to have, like everyone else, thousands of email in my inbox, never thinking that I just always assumed that's the way you do it.
Now, he's inherently lazy, so that's another reason why he wouldn't ever delete messages or respond to them, because he's not proactive. He's not type A personality at all.
I thought that disciple was a strange choice of words.
I was going to say that.
You'd normally think of Christianity and Jesus when you hear disciple, and
not
he's
believer.
Calling himself, and he has nothing but bad things to say about Christians. It's become a fixture on this show, trashing Christianity. trashing Christians, trashing anyone who believes in God, while his wife signs off every day on Instagram with good night and God bless, wears a big cross on her neck, certainly did not convert. And it's very strange that they have this, you know, Beth celebrates being a Catholic. Howard cannot stand anyone Christian.
What, and Ben? You didn't see the Ames catalog for yarmulkes she was modeling back in the day?
No,
so he's going on about this, and it's a bit of a long clip.
Anything, it just sits in there, and if you need it, you do a search or whatever, and everything just gets lost, and it's a big pile of horseshit. So years ago, I started with zero inbox. I made a bunch of folders on the side. I organized, I deleted anything I didn't need. And every email I...
Go ahead, Sam.
Why do you need to be a disciple to anything to delete emails? And this is always his big... this is always the big example he gives about organizing his life is deleting emails. Because everything else in his life, cleaning, laundry, schedules, cars,
writing notes,
driving, whatever, it's all done for him. So... Yeah. All he has to do in life is delete emails, and it's super easy. You click on it and delete it, and he needs to be a disciple of a cult.
Imagine that.
In order to delete an email. Seriously, that's how stupid.
It's how he met Marcy. Everybody knows that, right? He met her because she taught him how to unsubscribe from emails. Then he said, you'd be perfect as my CEO, basically.
It's incredible.
So he needed an email tutor.
But, you know, I imagine the test of faith that David Allen has, where he says to Howard, are you willing to empty your junk folder? And he's thinking about it. Yes, I'm willing to cross that line.
You know, between Landmark Forum, which was Est, and TM and GTD, we definitely have enough in us to do a cult show based on they're just those two on the show, Robin
and
Howard.
Then TM also.
Yeah, I mentioned TM. Yeah, TM getting things done, and Landmark Forum. Between the two of them, there's no scam they won't fall for. And we're not going to forget about the email scam that Robin had, and the Gary getting scammed off of eBay as well. That was funny. Yeah, Sam,
but between having a personal assistant, a long-term one, maybe another one that helps Beth, Ralph, Gary, an entire staff of people on the show who do everything for you other than breathe. What possibly do you need this organization for? And if it's just to delete emails, I don't understand. I really don't understand. I don't get why he's promoting this and saying that they helped his life so much when all I've heard is he's deleted emails and he made a bunch of whiteboard sketches.
Side folders.
Misspelled side whiteboards. Folders. Yeah.
Well, remember when he used to do brain mapping, I think that was called, where you would just, you draw out these ideas and you connect them all together.
You learn that in elementary school. It's called brainstorming. You have the big circle in the middle and then you have the ideas coming off the side. You learn that in second grade.
David Allen has somehow marketed it towards guys Howard's age, and Howard thinks it's eye-opening.
Yeah, well, it's like, I hate to say it, but I have a family member who, the minute they read a chapter of a self-help book, they think they're the first person to ever read that book, first of all, and they're also the first person to think that's the first time that psychological aspect of self has been discovered, and then they can't wait to tell you all about it, and then that's all that's on their mind. But at any rate, let's continue.
Now, whenever it comes in, I decide what I want to do. Do I want to delete it? Do I have to take an app? Or can I handle this in under 2 minutes?
Dun, dun, dun. Can I handle this under 2 minutes? So that's the level of concentration he has, maybe 2 minutes. And I think what's called ADHD? He's more likely to have that.
The 2 minutes... The 2 minutes is probably a directive. If you can't handle this in 2 minutes, store it. Meaning if it takes longer, that's probably,
that
as a disciple, he probably pledged, I will do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's perfect for someone with a pea brain like him, because he doesn't actually have to concentrate on anything. So delegating, if he can even delegate, when we found out from the summit meeting, he's not very good at that either. So I'm not sure. It makes perfect sense why he has a stylist, a hairstylist.
There's nothing in his life that he doesn't turn over to an expert.
Remember, he needed
quote unquote expert
the coffee machine. He needed to call Beth and how do you work the coffee machine?
Right. There's nothing. He has no responsibilities and no accountability. Nothing. So when you have a life of nothing, telling everyone that you set up a side email box, and that you delete your emails is worthwhile. And we're all like, what?
Now that you said he couldn't even brag about his fingers on clothes
because he's never done that. Yeah, he's got nothing he can brag about having done.
Well, one sec. Didn't he also? I have an audio clip somewhere of him saying he used to go clothes shopping with his mother.
Yes. Yeah. That's in the book.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Sam, please.
The ADHD thing, maybe because he can't focus on something for so long and he can't accomplish it because he's so all over the place and he's like a spastic child. Deleting emails and reading them and sorting them probably is an accomplishment for him. And that's why he's talking about it like this. He probably just said, oh, shit, I have emails. I'm just never going to read any of these.
Yeah.
Only people like Robin have 1,000 unread emails, unless you have some burner email account that you never go through use to temporarily sign up for things.
Right. No.
And so that's the rule. So let's say I get an email from Robin and Robin says, hey, can you get me?
Yeah, you've got mail.
Yeah. Well, if I get an email from Robin.
Nice drop from 1998.
A movie director that whatever. I say, I can handle that in under 2 minutes. And I do it. And then I delete her email. And I'm done. And it's beautiful because at the end of the day, most days I have zero email.
That's so pathetically awful. And I have a feeling one day you're going to find him coming into the show on Monday morning or Tuesday morning and say, Robin, I did this thing. It's amazing. I learned how to boil water.
That could be next. Because we know he knows how to cook eggs now.
Yeah. Now, he keeps going on about in the same clip. He talks about losing weight and how there's a guy who's 62 years old and did the longest plank ever. And he can't do it because he's so busy. Let me see if I can find that clip.
Full-time job, you know, and the guy's 62 years old. He did a plank for 8 hours and 15 minutes, and I went, that is unbelievable. And the guy's ripped.
Yeah, but he looked like he was gonna die at the end of it.
I know, and I did say to myself, like, well, if that guy's 62 and he could be doing that, I guess maybe I'm being a baby. But I'm telling you, I can't do that shit. I got a full-time job. When I'm not here, I'm busy, you know, talking to the guys or working on stuff. I don't have time for that.
That's why he doesn't currently hold the world's record for planking.
Yeah.
Because he's got a full-time job. This reminds me of my favorite defense of Howard's sexuality ever given as to why he couldn't be gay. Lisa Lampanelli on the wrap-up show, someone says, do you think Howard could be gay? Lisa Lampanelli says, he's too busy to be gay.
That was better than I'm married. How could I be gay?
Yeah, too busy to be gay.
Yeah.
Didn't
she come out of the closet finally?
Did she?
I believe so.
After
let me just check
her
this
marriage
out.
And everything.
Afterwards, yes. Let me
I
see.
Couldn't you be gay if you were? You could if you're married.
Let's see if I can find it.
I had no idea.
He's a supporter.
I think. Okay. Personal life. Hold on. Oh, she filed for divorce. I thought she did come out, but no, it just says she's a supporter of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. But I seem to recall her saying that was essentially the problem. She was closeted, but I could be wrong. Sorry, Lisa, if I made that mistake. But you wouldn't be, you know, unfortunately, but looking at her, you wouldn't be surprised to hear that news. But
no.
So this is good, taking us into the Kobe Bryant, Jimmy Kimmel tribute, which I saw a little bit of, but then he played some clips and he was pretty awful about the whole thing. Let's see if I can find the right clip.
Where's Michael? Michael, hi.
Hey, what's up, Howard?
Hey.
Hey, you got to tell your boy to get his shit together. It's embarrassing him crying on like that. It's an unwritten rule that at a black funeral, you can't be crying more than the widow. It's a fact.
Are you black?
Yeah, I'm black, and it's embarrassing. So, I mean, he needs to stop. He's got to stop now.
So just a quick question to you guys. Real caller or fake caller, like backroom caller? Because we those listening to the show might not understand this, but there's been a history of back office staffers calling in as early as Stuttering John. If you remember the AJ Benza thing, he called
if
in.
He's black, then maybe real.
But how do we know? We're just hearing a voice.
Did your voice picture a black guy when you heard it? I mean, did you picture a black guy when you heard that voice? I didn't.
No, he sounded like a trucker from, I don't know, Indiana somewhere. It just sounded like a back office staffer. Anyway.
You guys are being a little, I mean, I just don't think there's any more room for Jimmy to cry anymore at my
How
funeral.
Could he have more tears?
Right.
He cried all of his tears out.
I mean, when Jimmy was growing up, I entertained him on the radio. Well, I guess maybe he went to a lot of Kobe's games.
Doesn't this sound so much like he can only have me as a girlfriend? What's he doing at Kobe's funeral? That he's jealous. Mm-hmm. I think on many levels, Howard's jealous about the fact that Kimmel is a schmoozer. Like he's a known Hollywood schmoozer, and he's been giving parties for celebrities that he meets through his show. And for staff, he's very good to his staff for decades now. Ever since he's had his show, he's been very social, cooking barbecues and stuff and making his own food and been very adept at socializing, which is Howard's not. He's not naturally good at socializing with people, obviously.
Right.
So there's
several
layers of jealousy here and insensitivity. Go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
Also crying. Say Jimmy Kimmel supposedly excessively cries. If that's just his nature, if he's an emotional human being and tears mm-hmm. are the way that he conveys that emotion, wouldn't you say to Robin, well, why do you laugh so much? Why sure. are you laughing all the time at things?
Yes.
You're laughing at things that aren't funny.
He sees tears as currency that yeah. are, you know, you could use, you have so much of it and you use it wisely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always talks about how he can't cry. It's not possible for him to cry. But we also know he cries all the time
himself.
Whenever yes. he sees himself somehow being shortchanged or somehow having expectations of him, he cries over that. Not for someone else. But of all things to be upset about, something that you will never be able to witness, which is how people behave at your own funeral. Mm-hmm. And he's already... you know, scoring how people are going to behave at his funeral based on how they behave at others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know people would say, this is satire. This is just him being satirical. It's not him being satirical. This is what consumes him.
Where's the laugh? Where's his laughter? Where's the jocular tone we're supposed to hear?
What are you making fun of? Other people who are obsessed with celebrity funerals? No, there is no other person obsessed with celebrity funerals.
Not so much as him.
Funeral in particular, I think also kind of it was different in the sense that I even cried watching this memorial. I don't even care about basketball. Something about the suddenness and the young children that were involved in this tragedy and a mother losing not only a husband, but a child and not having a partner to grieve with. If you can't understand on a human level how upsetting that is and not be proud of your friend for doing such a good job for a hard thing that most people would cry over, you're a monster. I'm sorry.
Just go on, look on a random like reunion clip on YouTube where brothers getting together after 20 years and stuff, or people at the airport meeting, and you see that's where you really see people's true emotions, and you, like I'm a sucker for that. When I see kids reunited with their fathers who have been away, you know, I could easily tear up. Call me a pussy, I suppose. I didn't cry when John Ritter died like Jimmy Kimmel, but I did cry when Rickles passed away. But that's just my DNA. But it's a long clip. We'll go through it, but it just shows you more about him than.
Well, yeah, and also bear in mind, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Howard didn't want it out there that Jimmy's a pussy, Jimmy's a traitor.
Yep.
For crying, for having feelings for anyone but Howard.
Absolutely.
So you're right. Fake caller probably then, because he wanted this brought up.
Anytime he wants something brought up, remember with the Mom Caves Jared fella, that Instagram photo or whatever it was, Twitter photo that Beth posted with her co-host, and he got the King of All Blacks to call in and ask about it because he was too much of a pussy to do it himself. That's just standard Stern MO at this point.
Yeah, so. And Howard could have easily dumped the call and we would never know about it if he didn't like what it was saying. He didn't. Does he sound like a man who's upset that you're talking about his friend that way?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was in Vegas.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, right.
Now he's got the clip ready to go.
This is for them. I don't think any of us could have imagined this. Everywhere you go, you see his face, his number.
All right.
Okay,
the now Jackie that, laugh does trigger me to laugh, though.
That made me laugh hysterically because, and I, in some ways, I don't understand why Fred played that if he hates Jackie. On some level, he must like.
Well,
him
Fred hates Jimmy more.
I guess so. I guess
Fred,
so.
Fred hates Jimmy Kimmel.
What, does Jimmy, he? Did Jimmy he say that?
Jimmy insulted Fred once. In the past, I don't. You know what? I'm going off the top of my head here. I don't remember exactly. Fred was very insulted by it. And Fred's salivating to take digs at Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, this one little segment I wanted to isolate it, but I just left it as the longest part of this longer clip. It made me. It was interesting to me because it's Howard getting a laugh from a clip from a guy who's been off the show for almost 20 years now that he's not able to get himself, and all it is a laugh. And Robin's laughing and he's upset by it. And that's why enough. It wasn't about let's not offend Jimmy. I think it was more let's not give Jackie any praise by using his laugh to get laughs.
Yeah. And you gotta know the origins of that to even get why that's funny.
Right.
You know, the new Sirius era fans. Why? How would they know? I guess unless they listen to Sternthology, assuming that they even play the news. I don't know.
Yeah, I Sternthology. Doubt it. Yeah, you'd have to go on the YouTube wormhole to find some of those right. news articles whenever they talk about children dying and Jackie laughing.
That's for us people who were there all for a long time to go Absolutely. To get the reference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gigi's face, Gigi's number, everywhere at every intersection. There are hundreds of murals painted by artists who are...
Beth and I were watching. I said, you think Jimmy has any tears left for me?
I think Jimmy has that thing where, you know, he says he's not going to cry. And then when he goes out there, he's just overwhelmed and he has to cry anyway. Or he knows he's going to cry. What's going on here?
We need him to come in and discuss it with us.
Yep.
How do you know when you're going to cry? It's an emotional response.
Yeah, that's right.
You're at a funeral and you're giving a eulogy. You try your best. When I spoke at my grandmother's funeral, I held it together for as long as I could. I had a couple moments where I couldn't, and then I got myself back together. It happens. It's not something you're planning. They act like every human emotion, because they're like this, is planned. It's fake. It's not genuine.
I'll give you an example, and then, Ben, I want you to say your thought. I went home to Canada this past month, and one of my uncles passed away. And he had been not in really good health. He had mobility problems, and he was going for – he just was in denial and would refuse to accept that his legs weren't ever going to be good. He had a kind of an operation that didn't restore his mobility that great. And so this past January, I went, and he'd already passed away in the fall of last year. And I didn't cry when I heard about it because I knew he was in really awful shape. And I thought this is more of a blessing because unfortunately he was not in a good way. But then when I went to his garage where he worked, or he was retired, but him and his son have this garage that they run, and he wasn't there. And I walked in and I realized he wasn't there waiting for me. Like, just, he wasn't there at the front desk. I didn't cry when I got in, but I cried when I left because he wasn't there. So all of a sudden, same thing happened when my grandmother passed away, and she wasn't at the house in Greece where she always was all the times I went. And the first time I went back without her, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. But that's, again, that's, you don't choose to cry. That's an involuntary reaction. And Jimmy's got kids, and he's got, well, ex-wives and wives, and he's and he also, if I'm not mistaken, had heart surgery at some point Jimmy Kimmel. They often do say that.
Son did, right?
No. He did, but I believe he had a health problem himself. Kimmel had, much like Letterman, not exactly the same, but I believe he had something to change his lifestyle quite drastically. And they do say that when people do get their hearts operated on and they literally get opened up physically, emotionally, they also become very, very, they change. They get much more emotional faster. So we'll play the rest of that.
Jimmy cries about Cecil the Lion. He cries about shootings at school, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
He has a hard time.
Vegas shooting.
I've doubted his sincerity at myself at times, I have to say. I've wondered how easily he can make it happen. Now,
the Lion thing, I doubted.
That it was real tears.
Yeah, I was a little like.
Yeah,
what?
I think, boy, you late night guys are willing to do anything for ratings, aren't you? That's what my initial thought was about that.
Possibly,
but what I'm sorry, I totally forgot what we were talking about. Just you were
sorry, crying.
We're talking about Chris. You're crying and mocking the crying, mocking emotion, mocking human emotion.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't remember what I was gonna say.
That's right. If it comes back, just we'll swing it right. Raise your hand, and
but he got a lot of television attention.
Oh, I know what it
was. There we go.
He says, "I said to Beth, do you think Jimmy will have any tears left for me?"
Yeah, that was
that's not the end of the story. I want to know what Beth says to that. Does Beth roll her eyes and pretend I didn't just hear that? Imagine saying that to your wife if you saw someone crying. Do you think they're gonna have any tears left for my funeral? That's not. Most human beings would find that very indecent to say something like that. But I suspect that the coward that he is, he gave a very goofy, stupid smile that says, oh, I'm just kidding, unless you're going to answer me. He wants her to answer him, but he's too much of a coward to ask it without putting the goofy, stupid smile on. And that allows her to take that as an exit, as an easy way out.
She's got an out, yeah.
Do you think, Sam, it's awkward for them to watch that together? We're not 100% sure if they did, but let's say he's telling the truth and they're watching this together and you're watching a real wife with somebody who has loved her husband for decades of time and they've been together since she was 17 and he was 18 and they have a family with multiple children. And you could just feel the pain and anguish.
And it's not just her husband either. It's her child.
It's a child. Correct. Yeah.
Right. So do you think that they don't know that type of love between themselves?
Oh, they can't know it.
She doesn't even have her own child. So maybe she didn't say anything to that when he made that remark because they don't know what it's like to selflessly love another human being.
No one tells him the truth. No one talks to him truthfully because they're on the payroll. Every single one of the Jimmy's the one person who's not on his payroll. He's just got his tongue up his colon. And for some reason doesn't after that brouhaha with his going out to L.A. and then making a joke about, his son, where's my party?
Joke,
and his son was in the hospital.
In quotation marks, right?
Joke. Yeah. Like, where's my party? You know, who cares about the kid? And this it's a baby, a newborn getting heart surgery. And unless you're made of stone, I don't know how you don't choke up thinking about it. Just
you know what?
And I'm not a parent. I have no children.
Right. Jimmy should have ended the friendship after that.
I agree.
This easily.
Alleged joke that my party is more important than your son's recovery from his heart operation.
Right. That no one laughed at. There was no joke to be had.
And we all know it's not a joke. It's, you know, Howard always does this thing as the armchair therapist that you want to get caught. That's his big thing that he take away from psychology. You did this because you wanted to get caught. And he always is a guy who I believe wants to get caught. He puts it all out there and no one takes the bait, you know, and that could be from his sexual preferences to how he truly feels about people, I'm not a Democrat, yelling that last week. No, but you know, everyone kind of plugs their ears and go, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. We're bringing in Harry Styles tomorrow. You're a Democrat.
Yeah.
He wants to get caught in a way. And him saying these ugly things as a joke, quotation marks, they're not jokes. They're just ugly statements.
Right.
It's his way of wanting it known. I'm being honest with you, but I'm giving myself this immense padding that says, oh, this is just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Takashi, what do you got?
Well, I think I have a frush.
What the fuck is a frush?
A frush?
Oh, well, see, I got two sevens, and two sevens beats a frush.
Oh, thank you.